Earlier this week, the Organization of African Unity became the African Union. The AU is developing a long-term plan for establishing political and economic stability on the continent, hoping, for example, to create a single African parliament and a peacekeeping force. Commentator Ken Wiwa hopes the Union's inaugural excitement doesn't distract African leaders from the difficult tasks that lie ahead.
African leaders gathered in Durban to bless a newborn African Union. Fighter jets streaked across the skies, singers sang praise songs, and Africa was rewarded with an anthem written by the Senegalese president. But even as the continent's elders poured out libations, cynics had already written it off. Some are saying that the only difference between the OAU and the AU is the O as in organization. To the critics, the profile of the leaders gathered in Durban said it all. They were all men. Among them were at least three military dictators, two of whom, like Togo's President Iadema and Gabon's Omar Bongo, have been in power since the 1960s. Africans need to know what the African Union will and can do, that the OAU and various incantations to some mythic Pan-African spirit haven't been able to achieve. Pan-Africanism has been a pipe dream for black people since slavery. African Americans like W.E.B. Du Bois and Marcus Garvey were in the vanguard of an idea that sought to build a United States of Africa for black peoples. But Pan-Africanism only took root in the motherland after the Second World War. Then the likes of Kwame Nkrumah used it to inspire Africans in the struggle for independence. In 1963, the dream finally found a political expression when the Organization of African Unity was formed. Throughout its history, the OAU was troubled with disputes among member nations. African countries jealously guarded their sovereignty, and the OAU was often described as a toothless lion in a gilded cage. Now the African Union has taken over the baton from the OAU. Today's Africa is a very different continent to the one that gave birth to the OAU. The challenges that the African Union faces are well documented by now. One in five African is affected by an armed conflict or civil war. 673 million people, that is 90% of the continent's population, live on less than $1 a day. Life expectancy in sub-Saharan Africa is 47 years. Of the 40 million people worldwide infected with HIV, more than two-thirds live in Africa. The problems are as big and complex as the continent itself. And when it comes to solutions, one size does not fit all. If the African Union is to inspire and tackle these problems, then it will have to be forward-thinking, take bold decisions, such as acting on behalf of African people rather than appeasing its dictators. It will have to lead where the OAU favored consensus. The Charter of the African Union is full of good intentions. It seeks to reward good governance. Recognition has been given to civil society as an important player in policy making. The African Union has plans to include more women. It seeks to engage the diaspora and to try to attract more foreign direct investment into Africa. All said, the Charter is forward-looking and positive. But the time for talking is done, and now begins the hard work of putting those ideals into effective action.
The comments of Ken Wiwa, author of In the Shadow of a Saint, A Son's Journey to Understand His Father's Legacy.